On this episode of Humans with Haunts, I sit down with my father, Reed Harrison, and talk and discuss a little bit about what defines him in his life. Welcome back to Humans with Haunts. Hopefully today's audio quality is okay. I'm back east visiting my dad. We did a little family trip. We're in New Jersey. We're in this little closet pretty much. So it might sound a little echoey to the listeners, and I'm sorry for that. But hopefully it's manageable for the podcast. Might hear a little bit of cars or, you know, the police sirens that come through here every once in a while, but it should be a good episode. I'm joined here today with my dad, Reed Harrison. Super grateful. He was one of the first people that when I started this, I don't think I actually reached out and asked him to be on the podcast, but I knew I wanted him on the podcast. I admire my dad greatly, his perspectives, his thoughts. I share very similar views and very similar thought processes, and so I feel like he has a lot to share, and I'm excited for this podcast. So that's sort of why I wanted him on here, to sort of see what he talks about. Dad, for the listeners, is there anything that they should know?
So, maybe just background about me.
For sure.
Trained as a physician, been in practice for about 23 years now. Recently made a change in that position to teaching part-time high school science and then working continually as in my clinic. And have had an experience of raising and continuing to raise six children, which also has that perspective and understanding how that all works together, I think is important.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, starting off, I know you've listened to a couple episodes on this trip. We listened to a couple together. For you, what's a relationship that has defined your life?
So it's an interesting when you ask that, because I thought of all the relationships, like the people I have, situations I have, but I think one of probably the most critical relationship that has really affected me, particularly over the last 25, 30 years, is the relationship between my devotion or religious devotion and doctrinal beliefs and my relationship with science.
Yeah.
And how those two are juxtaposed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting relationship, because I remember going through several classes and having learned several things in my undergraduate years and having a deep appreciation for science, particularly parts of science such as evolution, natural selection. Those seemed very just natural, very simple, very easy to understand, and very consistent with what I understood about biology, which was my undergraduate degree. Yet, at the same time, I was being told that that's not a truth that can be accepted within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So
yeah.
It was an immediate conflict of two very important things, which I was born and raised in the LDS faith. I knew that I had a testimony of those thoughts and ideas. And here I'm being presented with a contrary thought based upon other people's interpretation of those two belief systems.
Right. You know, you're faced with this sort of conflict of, you know, which one maybe has more priority. And I think that's definitely, you know, in many aspects, we all come to these, you know, forks in the road in our lives of, oh, there's this thing that I know, there's this thing that I know, and all of a sudden, they're sort of against each other. And it's sort of hard to reconcile that difference, which makes sense. You know, you talk about how this has sort of been going on for 25, 30 years. You're about 55 right now, if I remember right. So for you, it started all the way back in late teens. Is that correct?
Correct.
When was that initial sort of interaction or thought of there might be a little bit of issue here or conflict?
I remember a particular situation. I had some thoughts, but I had just finished up several courses in evolutionary biology, and I'm sitting in a church meeting, and a gentleman gets up and just begins to rail on anyone and any person that could believe or even think there's any truth within evolutionary science.
Right.
That it was contrary to all that the Church of Jesus Christ talked about and professed.
Yeah.
And here I was as a student saying, is he talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that hit me very hard. I was probably 23, 24 at the time. And again, I established those thoughts that, I had no problem. To me, it was very easy to create that or connect that relationship between the two. But here I was being forced to say, no, that cannot have an agreement. And from that point on, it's been this constant desire to create a connection.
Yeah. Between those two. You know, your initial reaction, obviously, you sort of mentioned there, was sort of this concern or shock of, you know, how do I make this work? What do you think that initial first step was for you? Do you feel like it was more just throw it on the back burner, you know, like, hey, I'll get through school, it's not too important right now? What was sort of that initial reaction to that first, you know, maybe gut check of, hey, there might be the controversy?
Well, for me, I think just my personality is I approach every issue to get an answer. To me, there's a solution. That's part of my science background.
Yeah.
And I believe as a member of the church, that's also part of my background. There's a solution.
Yeah.
So when that hit me, I, from that point on, was on a journey, which is I'm going to find how these connect. I don't believe God is going to say neglect all this amount of information that science has provided, all this incredible thing. And I don't believe that science was ever telling me to not believe in God. And so I thought, every day I go to class or every time I would listen to a church lesson or whatever, it was, how did these connect?
Yeah.
So it was a constant search for understanding more than, no, it was never put on the back burner. That's mm-hmm. It's an interesting point. I never wanted to say, I'll just see if this works out. I'll just have faith for the time being. No, it was, I'm actively seeing how these connect.
Yeah. What do you think that first step of finding that was? Do you think you maybe took it more at a scientific approach? Do you think you took it at a more religious approach? What was that first, you know, okay, this is what I'm going to do to find that connection? Because I feel like, you know, whether it's a relationship between two topics or a relationship between two people, you know, you have to sort of make an actionable item. You have to take steps in the right process, you know, forward, as you mentioned. You know, when we come together as people, it sometimes it takes both people. So for you, what was that first step?
I think the first step was I had to build foundations of what I knew was right.
Mm-hmm.
So I established a foundational belief. I have foundational beliefs in my religious thoughts, spirituality. I have foundational beliefs in my thoughts and concepts of science. So just like in any relationship, you have to know who you are so you can have that relationship with others. I knew what I believed religiously and doctrinally and spiritually, and I knew that I would learn and have great understanding to a certain extent of certain scientific thoughts. So it was that was my first step, is like, these both are true. These
yeah.
are true, true concepts, and I don't have to, and then the question was, do I have to give up one, or do I have to change one,
right.
when I knew both were equally, in my eyes, true and foundational.
Yeah.
So that's where it started, and I just, again, it was then taking the blocks of each of them and working them together in a way that say, can I create a new structure that has aspects and concepts of both that does not detract or distract from the other?
Right. And that structure to you, was that, you know, was that scripture study? Was that reading science textbooks? What did that look like?
So again, I think it was a combination of being devout. Yeah, I'm reading and praying daily. At the same time, part of my job and part of who I am and loving to study things, it was a constant reading books and reading other scientific articles. And then it evolved to probably about 10, maybe 15 years ago, where I really wanted to see if there was an answer that would include both.
Yeah.
And that's where the journey really became strong, because I realized, yeah, there is a connection.
Yeah.
So if I'm learning about the atom and I'm learning about negative electrons and a positive protons and neutrons and how they interact, I'm thinking, is there a spiritual connection to this? When I looked at universal concepts of the universe and how suns attract planets and how things are created or developed or whatever the term, I started to say, are there answers within my religious beliefs that actually can connect with those scientific beliefs? And that's what was so incredible is, you know, the concept of light. This was a few years ago. I realized, I mean, light is used so commonly, scripturally, yet light is hugely important to all aspects of science. If you're biological, it sets up all the science concepts of Earth systems. And I started realizing there are connections.
Yeah.
So that's where I think that journey was really excitable, is over the last 10 years where I started actually seeing those connections and finding that relationship was getting closer and closer to where now it's very easy to take a scientific concept and quickly allow myself to learn through a spiritual way what that really means, and vice versa. I can hear a spiritual concept, I get something taught in Sunday school or other lesson, and or I might read it in a scripture, and then I start saying, hey, does that have, for example, I've been reading in the Doctrine and Covenants 93, and it talks a lot about light. And currently I'm reading a book on Albert Einstein and his law of relativity and light. And it has just been this incredible experience of hearing his concepts and the way he developed his theories and the way he brought them forth, and at the same time recognizing and understanding the powers we understand of light in a spiritual manner. So that relationship has come together. I read a book, Sapiens by Harari, here a couple of years ago, and many times I would read that, and it's very secular. In fact, it was so interesting, I had a good friend of mine say to me, you know, every person that I've heard read this book...
Leaves the church!
He said that to me, he goes, you're reading this book? He goes, you're very spiritual, how can you do that?
Yeah.
And I started reading the book, and many times, dozens and dozens of times, I would read a concept in his book on Sapiens and have a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
Total connection of those two things. And it was not at all antagonistic. It was purely supportive and cumulative in its effect.
Yeah. You know, I think you've highlighted a couple of high points in this relationship where you really found that connection to you that has sort of been instrumental, you know, light and recognizing these scientific concepts. In a relationship, there's going to be downs as well. When has been a time where it's maybe been, it's been a struggle, you know, to find that connection, you know, when, has there been a time like that?
Oh, yeah. This was an interesting point. This is about 4 years ago. I had a friend who was publishing a book, which was very anti-science, and it was highly critical of science, yet, so to speak, was also highly religious in its origins. And he asked me to review this book. And so I started to review the book, and so we started a conversation as I would read parts of it and say, well, this isn't consistent with science or other parts that I understood. And then he started to send me literature from church leaders that talked about these concepts of science and evolution and how that's the next step to apostasy and that's the next step to losing one's faith. And quoted a certain prophet who said, you cannot have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time believe in evolution.
Right.
That was deeply hard for me.
Yeah.
Because for a decade, two decades prior, I had developed a relationship with these two where I felt strong testimony of Jesus Christ, and yet also had a strong belief in science. And here's this person shoveling, whatever you want to call it, in front of me saying, I could not do that.
Right.
And that was a critical time.
What did you do in that moment?
I think that's where you, and any scientist and any religious person know what faith is. It's a simple concept, which is you have a belief in a system or a concept or a hypothesis, and you test it. You try it out.
Yeah.
And so for the next couple of years, I again kind of went back to my basic foundations and said, well, let's test this. Does that work? Does it not work? And I slowly built those foundations back up into a place that were very comfortable for me and very, again, expanding. And I think that's the other thing, that if you understand anything about science, science is always this concept of resistance. You're mm-hmm. always going to get resistance from literature or other scientists or just life itself. And religion's the same way. There's always this resistance. That's what faith is. It's a it's overcoming resistance. And so that resistance of knocking me down a little bit and realizing maybe I don't know that much about science, or maybe I don't know that much about my testimony that I thought I did,
mm-hmm.
that resistance and humbling experience, so to speak, propelled me to even have more. And again, it was within a year or two I read, you know, Sapiens by Harari, and that was just, it just exploded in an understanding and knowledge.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems as though that happens in a lot of relationships. We hit these lows that really shape us in who we need to be, and then we grow from there. You know, when we encounter a relationship with like a friend or a significant other, you may hit this fight or this moment, and that's defining,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether you're going to move forward or abandon. And so obviously, you know, you've sort of chosen to continue on this path of finding this relationship between the science and religious aspects of your life. Obviously, this has been a big part, you know, for the last 30 years of your life. And there's been a lot of other relationships within that. You've shared some stories about different experiences you've had with different people on both sides of receiving a bit of maybe backlash, per se. How do you think this relationship has, you know, affected maybe some more close and intimate relationships you've had?
Oh, absolutely. As I raised each child and had a spouse who didn't quite believe in some of those concepts, particularly scientific concepts,
right.
It affected that marriage relationship, because
mm-hmm.
I would say to our children, well, you know, I believe God works through natural ways. He works through all these laws, and evolution and natural selection can be one of those ways in which he works. And there was spouses that would say no. And so that's been important. I think the other relationship is those with my children, and helping them navigate, because each of my children are very bright and very self-aware and very investigative.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to investigate and make that same relationship as they've gone through college or through other classes that they've taken. And so it's affected those relationships. Just right now, I'm teaching high school science, and my assistant principal, very religious, conservative in his religious beliefs, and I took it on myself to interact with him in a way that I said, let's make a connection here. So I lent him some books that I had that talked about both things. And so, yeah, I think it's been, for me, a non-threatening way to deepen relationships.
Yeah.
Because I think I can learn things, and I feel that maybe other people that haven't had that opportunity to have an eye on both sets and see that beautiful way that they tie in. My brother, for example, I have a professor that's at BYU, and
hopefully he's a listener.
Yeah, I'll have to let him know. In chemistry, he's very aware and very smart, and I throw questions by him all the time. Be it a science, he's very strong in the church, and so I love to find if I can make those connections at that level. So that's another way it's affected relationships with family and others.
Yeah, and I think that any type of relationship like that will do that. You know, you being my father, you know, I've had 22 years of that, you know, doctrine, I guess you could say. You've taught me some of those similar ideals and some of those things that, you know, resonate for me. You know, it looks like as this relationship has sort of formed, obviously there's always opportunity for growth. For you, there's been some key breakthroughs, I feel like, in terms of the relationship, whether it's looking at similarities with light or your battle in terms of reconciling this evolution. For you, what are you looking and researching and thinking about now?
Well, again, I think probably the most is this concept of light. As I mentioned, reading the book on Einstein, that's probably been the most frequent, and that's, you know, what I'm currently doing. I think, again, if anyone understands about life, be it religious or be it scientific, it's all about growth and about change.
Mm-hmm.
and progress. Not progress in the sense of better today than you were yesterday, but gaining more understanding about things.
Yeah.
And so for me, the exciting point is I can wake up every day and say, what can I learn today? And it can be an interpersonal relationship. It can be a scientific concept. It can be a medical diagnosis that I have to work through. It can be a spiritual experience. And that's, to me, what I love is the fact that there's still so much that I don't know.
Yeah.
And so to say what I'm looking forward to learning, to me, it's just being humble enough to say, I don't know something. And so if I read an article or I see something or I experience something, I can say, great, there's something new I can learn.
Yeah. And every relationship should be like that. Every relationship you should look at and recognize there's more opportunity to learn more, to experience more, to feel more. And I think that's important, you know. Circling back, I was thinking about how this relationship has affected some of other relationships. You know, you've talked about how you've experienced some pushback, I guess. You know, you talked about a previous spouse that maybe had some certain different ideals. Do you think that changes when you encounter that? What's your perception of that, you know, experience? Is that hard for you? Is that something that you just blow by? You know, what's that for you?
Well, and that's what's hard. I think because when you've learned something and you've studied it and you've experienced it for multiple situations, and then someone comes in and says, well, that can't be true.
Right.
Then your first response is they're ignorant. They just don't know. They're unexposed to truth.
Yeah.
And that's not good to reproach a relationship that way, particularly if it's a spouse.
Right.
You don't tell them you're ignorant, you're just stupid.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. And so I think what I've really had to do is step back, and as we know with any form of knowledge, it's a piece at a time. It's incremental. And I think that's probably been my greatest challenge, if you talk to any of my family members, is my desire to be direct and forthright and correct, at the same time being gentle and kind and patient.
Right.
And that's been hard for me to do, and it's been hard for others when I'm not that way, when I try to make a reconciliation of my beliefs and thoughts and ideas. And so I think, you know, in any relationship, be it whatever it be, it's this concept of being patient and being humble enough to say, I don't know it all, and I don't know how to say this to certain people of what I believe, because their level of understanding is very different than mine. And
right.
I'm sure if I would sit in a room with Einstein, he would think of me as an infant who's an idiot and ignorant because I don't understand at the level he would have understood. And so I have to be careful that way.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive to others' levels and capabilities and understanding.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point. You know, obviously I can ask sort of leading questions. But I mean, I ask that because, you know, we talked about it. We discussed this need for patience in my own life. You know, you've seen me here in this little family reunion that we've been having. It's sometimes hard to see people make these decisions and these choices that you disagree with, that you feel like fundamentally should be different. And to be able to see, hey, you know, this, you sort of have to, like you said, you take that step back. You analyze it at a different position. And I mean, I like how you said the perception's different. Not lesser, not more. It's different. They come from different experiences. They come from different backgrounds. And we need to recognize and value that. And so I appreciate that. You know, as we wrap up here, finishing up on time, is there any sort of final thoughts that you feel like you really just wanted to get across in this opportunity?
I think the most important thing, because I see so many youth critically being confused in their pursuit for knowledge, be it secular or be it religious, to not let anyone say they cannot be together, that they cannot receive both a great education within the secular community and receive a great spiritual education in the religious community. I don't want any student, that's why I went into teaching science right now, is because I just wanted everyone to see they both can be brought together. And I don't want any student go and take an evolutionary class and believe, or think that they can't believe in God, or
right.
can't have a joy of a spiritual experience. That is the most critical thing. If I could teach the world, is that they are congruent, they work together, and there is no opposition in those things. And don't let someone lose their religious conviction because of that, or don't let someone neglect their educational experiences because they think there's conflict.
Right.
There is no conflict. That's the thing I wish more people could understand. There is
yeah.
no conflict.
And people can find that balance and that,
exactly.
you know, compromise that you found. And I think that works in any relationship.
Absolutely.
That works in, you know, a marriage, in a boyfriend, girlfriend, in a friendship. Finding what works together is
right.
important. And I appreciate that. You know, for the listeners out there, do you have a recommendation? I know you're not really on social media or anything, but is there something that you'd recommend to the listeners?
Well, read that book, Sapiens. I've already. It might shake a little bit of thoughts, but it's... But if you're a spiritual person, take it from a spiritual standpoint, and it'll be an interesting journey.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, thank you again, Dad Reed Harrison, for being here, for being on the podcast, Humans with Haunts. I'm grateful for your thoughts, and I hope the listeners are as well. And hope the listeners like, comment, share, all the good stuff, and we'll see you next week.